Excuse me, everyone. We now have all of our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. Instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Mary McGuinty. Ms. McGuinty, you may begin.
Thank you, Nick. Good morning, everyone. We hope you all had a happy and healthy holiday weekend, and thank you for joining our Thanksgiving weekend recap press call. Today, you will hear from Matthew Shea, President and CEO of the National Retail Federation, and Phil Rist, Executive Vice President at Prosper Insights and Analytics, which is the research firm that conducts this consumer survey. So without further ado, I will hand it over to Matthew Shea.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks, Mary. Glad to be with you all. Appreciate you joining us today for this conversation. And I know some of you were with us last week for our holiday forecast, and we're glad to be able to continue that discussion with you as we all move together through this very unusual year and holiday season. And as we discussed last week on that call, this past weekend, this five-day holiday, Thanksgiving weekend, was really unlike any other we've ever seen. We knew the pandemic was going to impact in-store foot traffic, and we anticipated that consumers would shift some of their shopping behavior online, and we certainly saw that. Retailers, large and small, have been preparing for the holidays for many months, as they always do, and certainly they learned an enormous amount back in the early days of the pandemic in February, March, April, that helped them prepare for this season. And I think as a result of that, they were able to safely meet consumers where and when and how they wanted to shop, and they were prepared with the right kinds of merchandise at the right prices to meet those needs. And certainly as the coronavirus cases have spiked across the country over the past few weeks, we continue to see consumers prioritize their personal health and safety, as well as public health and the health of the communities in which they live and work. And they continue to adjust their shopping behavior online to avoid large crowds. And we've seen this consistently throughout the year, this change in evolving behavior, and we've seen it across all demographic groups as well, which has really been fascinating. And as you'll hear a little bit further when Phil speaks, some of the statistics that we have gathered from our conversations with consumers, 57% of holiday shoppers have indicated that they plan to shop more online specifically because of the pandemic, which I think is not surprising, but certainly tells you there's an enormous cohort of holiday shoppers out there that are changing their behavior patterns. And of course, Black Friday and Saturday of this past weekend saw enormous growth in online activity. For the first time ever, the number of online Black Friday shoppers exceeded 100 million, which is up by 8% from 2019. And online shopping during Small Business Saturday was up 17%, with approximately 68 million online shoppers. Overall, there were 186 million holiday shoppers from Thanksgiving Day through Cyber Monday. That is slightly below last year's high number, which was really extraordinarily high. We're down 1% or 2% from last year, which was 189 million. But we are still significantly stronger than what we saw in 2018, which was 166 million over those same 4 days. So a big continue to be a big jump from 2 years ago, and flat to slightly down from last year, which I suspect, and we can discuss this, is due to the fact that we've seen the holiday season extended back into October more dramatically than ever. And remember that last year was an extraordinarily late Thanksgiving, and so we were much closer to the end-of-year holidays. We had fewer shopping days last year. So on that basis, I think what we saw over these last 4 or 5 days was another extraordinarily high number. Of those 186 million shoppers that were out this year over the past weekend, online only, those shoppers that were only participating through one channel, increased by almost 45% to 95 million shoppers. And more than 40 million shopped solely in store. I think what we've seen more of lately, those shoppers that are going across channels, we've seen more than 50 million shoppers participating both online and in store, which again is consistent with where we've seen the real growth over the past few years. The average amount that was spent specifically on holiday items, which includes gifts, decorations, and food, over the five-day period was $312, which is down about $50 from last year, but is very consistent with what we saw in 2018. And again, I think due both to the fact that consumers have been out there very robustly now for many months, making many purchases, and particularly that substantial number that started their holiday shopping earlier likely accounts for this number. On gifts specifically, shoppers spent about $225, which is down about $30 from last year, again, for I think a number of obvious reasons in terms of the way the holiday has shifted relative to last year, as well as the earlier start that most consumers got, and the purchases that have taken place all year long. In conversations with many CEOs across various retail segments, those that I've talked to over the past few days, I've heard a number of themes, and consistently, certainly, we have seen that pretty much whatever segment, whatever brand, one consistent theme is that consumers have gotten a head start on holiday shopping. All of us have tried to encourage that. Certainly last month, or actually now back in October, 2 months ago, the NRF launched a consumer awareness campaign called New Holiday Traditions. And our campaign was designed to encourage consumers to shop safe and to shop early and to think about prioritizing, you know, their health and safety and that of their communities, and also remind them that this is going to be a different kind of a holiday season, and from the perspective of getting those gifts that they want to find, of both avoiding crowds and ensuring that they arrive on time, that they get an early start. So a couple of messages embedded in that campaign, and we've seen consumers respond to that. Certainly retailers embraced that earlier start to the holiday season and planned ahead in order to safely serve their consumers. And we saw that back in October, a number of major selling days and promotional activities, major retailers as well as small mid-sized retailers all pulling things forward starting in October. We certainly saw holiday inventory stocked and on shelves earlier than ever, and holiday promotions and deep discounts being offered. And we know in terms of hiring patterns that seasonal staff and some of the decisions that retailers were making about ensuring they had the right human resources in place was adjusted to be pulled forward into October. And again, consistent with that, retailers were prepared to meet the increased demand in online shopping and the use of services like buy online, pick up in store, curbside pickup, same day delivery. Many of the activities and initiatives that really were at the forefront of the early response to the pandemic back at the beginning of this year, when many retailers were forced to close or had limitations on the number of customers that could visit stores. And I think we've really seen them sharpen their execution in all of these categories in a way that prepared them especially well for this holiday season. Over half of all holiday shoppers, more than 52%, indicated that they took advantage of early holiday sales and promotions. And if we just look at the robust way in which consumers have been out there supporting economic growth, we've seen six consecutive months of retail sales increases beginning in May. Through this first 10 months of the year, through October 31, retail sales are up 6.4% over 2019. And just for the month of October, ex-gas, ex-autos, retail sales were up 10.6%. So a lot of momentum, a lot of consumer resilience there, and I think that being brought to bear over this past weekend. By the end of the weekend, by yesterday afternoon and evening, 85% of holiday shoppers indicated that they had actually started their shopping. So a really substantial number, given that we're still 3.5 weeks away from the Christmas holiday and a month away from the end of this calendar year. The other theme that I think was pretty prevalent was that both retailers and consumers unplugged a bit this year on Thanksgiving Day. And we saw a number of announcements months ago, major retailers that had a history over the last decade of being open on Thanksgiving, indicating that they would actually close this year. And as a result, and as expected, in-store shopping was down substantially on Thanksgiving Day, down about 50%. Given, of course, again, both the state of the pandemic, but also because so many retailers really curtailed their hours substantially or were closed entirely on Thanksgiving Day, which I think had the twin benefits both of giving their teams an extra day to rest, recover, be with their families, but also, of course, in light of the pandemic, discouraged the kind of public gatherings that can be unsafe and unhealthy in the current environment. In addition to the number of stores that were closed on Thanksgiving and the impact that had on in-store purchases, we also saw a slowdown in the number of online shoppers on Thanksgiving Day compared to the rest of the holiday weekend. And I think that reflects the fact that, to a certain extent, everybody kind of took the day off, and that was not just retailers, but it was all of us, customers and the communities in which we live as well. Another theme that emerged over the past few days is we saw consumers staying engaged throughout the entire weekend. And with the exception maybe of Thanksgiving Day, when we saw people take a bit of a breather, online-only shoppers were up 44% over the weekend compared to a year ago. And, you know, if we think back to the history of Cyber Monday 15, 20 years ago, the reason Cyber Monday took off, and many of us don't really think of this anymore, was that in those days you couldn't get reliable internet access at home, and so Cyber Monday at work became the only place you could really do it safely because you didn't have reliable internet in the home, much less on a device you carried in your pocket. And that was how Cyber Monday came to be. But this year, with so many people now set up for working remotely, and people have very robust internet connections at home in a way that didn't exist 2 decades ago, Black Friday topped Cyber Monday as a busy day for shopping when we would normally expect to see people out in stores. So really impressive growth online for Black Friday and as well as for Cyber Monday. But it was impressive to see how that's evolved over the last couple of decades. I think another theme that emerged was that consumers continue to stress the importance of holidays this year, and we have seen that consistently, both secular, so to speak, and religious holidays have taken on new meaning and significance this year, I think, as we're all trying to find some opportunities to celebrate and be joyful. And so whether that's been the traditional summer holidays of Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, whether it was Father's and Mother's Day, Halloween, we have seen consumers respond in a very big way, both looking for something to celebrate and, you know, I think also at a practical level, people aren't doing as much spending in other categories, whether that's entertaining, dining, travel, hospitality, and some of those dollars are flowing back into the kinds of things people are doing at home to lift their spirits and find something joyful to be grateful for. And in fact, the majority of consumers said that recent developments relating the spread of coronavirus cases, 55% of consumers have indicated that while they're well aware of what's happening around them in their communities, they don't expect that that's going to have an impact on their holiday spending, that they, as we've seen in the past, have the ability to hold two things in mind simultaneously, both being aware of the environment around them and yet that awareness not deterring them from continuing to be involved in the holiday season and spending and doing so safely. And I guess related to that earlier point about both doing more from home, finding joy in their lives, and repurposing from other categories, 51% of consumers have indicated that because of the pandemic, they're more interested in holiday decorations and seasonal items this year. And I think, again, that reflects both the fact that we are more homebound, and so if we're going to do celebrating, it's going to be in the home, and we're not going to be out doing some of those other holiday things we would normally do. And some of that income is getting repurposed from other categories into more expressive and maybe more extravagant holiday decor than ever. The other theme that emerged, I guess, is that it was clear that there's still more shopping to come, that although shoppers started earlier and embraced the Thanksgiving weekend deals, they've indicated that they, in spite of the early start, they've still got about half of their shopping left unfinished. And on that point, more than 90% of consumers expect that they'll be out looking for those attractive promotions throughout the rest of the season. And 77% of shoppers indicated that they're more interested in shopping to support small or local businesses that have been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic. And this is another theme that not only this holiday, but other holidays throughout the year, both because practically speaking, we're all staying closer to home than ever, and there is a certain sense of trust and comfort in supporting those local neighborhood stores. But also I think there's a sense of commitment to support those businesses that play such a vital role in local communities. And we've seen consumers express their support both in the survey work we've done, but also clearly in the way in which the spending patterns have emerged. On the retail side for a moment, as opposed to consumers, we have seen store associates, team members, partners really on the front lines throughout this year and putting themselves out there so that their communities and all of us as customers could try to maintain some sense of normalcy in our lives. And I think the investments that retailers have made in taking care of their teams and investing in the personal protective equipment and the other benefits and support they provided has really contributed to the overall environment. And in fact, consumers, by more than 70%, have told us that because of the precautions and the investments retailers have taken and made, that they feel very safe shopping in stores this holiday season. I think that's a testament to the investments, but also to the great teamwork of all those store associates. And we have been saying, of course, for many, many years that retailers have been investing heavily in the consumer experience and in personalization and in technology. And I think this year more than ever, those investments have been both accelerated and manifested because of the unique circumstances in which we find ourselves due to the pandemic. And with the stay-at-home orders and temporary closures both throughout this year and even currently in some places, consumers have increasingly become comfortable shopping across all channels. And as I referenced earlier, there are fewer generational distinctions with shopping behaviors anymore. All generations, all demographic groups are increasing their engagement in the digital world and becoming true seamless shoppers across all channels. So I guess I'll just wrap up here and say that what we've seen in terms of the holiday spending from Thanksgiving Day through to yesterday and Cyber Monday is consistent with our forecast for a strong overall holiday season. We think the results we saw are reflective of that continued consumer engagement. And as we move through this year, we'll see retailers continuing to prioritize the health and safety of their associates, their team members, and, of course, of their customers and the communities in which they all live and work. And we'll continue to support them in those efforts. So, Mary, why don't I turn it back over to you, and we'll let you continue the conversation with Phil from his perspective.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Thanks for those insights and analysis of the five-day shopping weekend. Let's now turn it over to Phil to highlight this year's top-line findings.
Thank you, Mary and Matt. I'll highlight the who, what, where, why, when, and how from the study. First, the who. The biggest holiday spenders this year were between the ages of 35 and 44. This age group spent approximately $380, which is nearly $70 more than the average shopper, with nearly all of their spending going toward holiday gifts. The what? The weekend shoppers purchased a variety of gifts, but the most popular items were clothing at 52%, toys at 32%, books and other media at 29%, gift cards also at 29%, and electronics at 27%. Now to the where. The most popular shopping destinations included online at 50%, department stores 40%, grocery stores 39%, clothing stores at 33%, and electronic stores at 31%. Now to the why. Free shipping was the biggest factor that convinced consumers who were hesitant about making a purchase. The other top factors included limited time sales or promotions, an easy-to-use website or app, and also positive customer reviews. The when. As expected with the coronavirus, consumers shifted their shopping behavior, both in-store and online, through the 5 days. Black Friday was the busiest day for online shopping with a record 100.6 million shoppers. This is an increase of 7.4 million compared to last year. Small Business Saturday had 68.2 million online shoppers, an increase of nearly 10 million compared to last year. And now to the how. The consumers also looked online to find information about Thanksgiving weekend sales, discounts, and promotions this year. And they cited online searches and emails from retailers as the two top ways to gather information. Overall, this was a very strong holiday weekend and is a positive indicator of where we are headed over the next few weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil, and thank you to all members of the media who have joined us today. I am Mary McGinty, Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs at NRF, and we are so grateful for your participation in today's call. And we are now happy to open up the line for your questions. While we wait for everyone to get in the queue, let me ask just one additional question of Matt Shea. Matt, based on the shift to online shopping this year, do you think this is the final nail in the coffin for Black Friday in-store shopping?
Well, you know, I don't know what's the sports analogy to use with how many times Black Friday has been counted out and come back. I don't know if it's, you know, we could all figure out our sports team that's been in the basement and everyone says never going to recover. Black Friday is a consumer day that once upon a time was of consequence and remains of consequence because it's a big day for economic activity. But it's evolved over the last decade much more so into a social day. And, you know, this is a year in which we can't socialize the way we would like to. But I'd be willing to bet that we roll the clock forward a year and, you know, the vaccines have been widely and safely distributed. I wouldn't be surprised if Black Friday next year was the biggest in history. I mean, I just think that there's going to be an enormous amount of pent-up demand for all of us to go out and to socialize and to be together and to experience some of the things that we miss right now. So Black Friday, just as the holiday season itself, just as retail, continues to transform and evolve based on the external environment and on changing customer and consumer needs and preferences and expectations. And I'm sure it will continue to evolve. But I would never say Black Friday was no longer relevant. I think it's always going to play a role in the psychology of the traditional kickoff to the holiday season. There are too many family and other traditions around the Thanksgiving holiday, the beginning of the Christmas and the end of year holidays, that it'll still be relevant in the future no matter what happens.
Great. Thank you, Matt. And Nick, if you wouldn't mind providing instructions to media on how they can ask questions at this time.
Thank you. And at this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by a 1 on your telephone keypad. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2 again. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now.
And while we're waiting, Phil, if you wouldn't mind, if you have any additional thoughts on anything that surprised you this year, we'd love to hear from you as well.
Okay. Well, I would first like to underscore everything that Matt just said about humans having a desire to socialize and be with other humans. And a lot of the activity that we're seeing this year is directly related to forced restrictions and also fear that hopefully will not continue into next year.
Thanks, Phil. Nick, do we have anyone lined up for a question?
Yes, we have several in the queue. Our first comes from Ann D'Innocenzio with AP. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having this call. My question is about shipping windows. I had noticed, I think it was Abercrombie and Fitch was saying that really setting a deadline for, I think it was December 4th or 6th, in order to guarantee by Christmas. And I was just wondering if you can talk a little bit about, some of the shipping windows. Are you seeing that the first week of December is going to be common for some of the smaller retailers or smaller chains, given the shipping crunch? Thank you.
Hey, Ann, thanks for being on the call. It's Matt Shea. I think all of our members are certainly being very thoughtful this year about both the collaboration with their logistics partners and also trying to sensitize their consumers and their customers to the changed environment. And in the conversations I've had with CEOs of companies across segments from general merchandise to luxury to specialty apparel to department stores and across the board, I think the experience has been that consumers are responding to the messaging and changing and evolving their behavior. So I think people have been sensitized based both on the messages that have been out there, but also on the experience from earlier this year in the early days of the pandemic when there were stockouts and retailers were chasing inventory in some categories, things like that. So I think the combination of all those things, as well as the earlier start to the holiday season, the numbers that we've seen about the consumers that have started their shopping earlier, I think people are responding because they generally are aware of the possibility that if they wait too long, they're not going to be able to find what they're looking for. But I think every retailer is handling the messaging slightly differently in terms of deadlines and how they're trying to communicate with their own community about reasonable expectations regarding purchase and shipping deadlines.
Okay. All right. Do you think it'll hurt some of the small stores just because the bigger ones, you know, have more clout and they can ship early, you know, especially toward the end of the year when people are nervous, maybe, you know, with the surging cases, people don't want to go out even to small stores, you know, that those small stores could really hurt that window the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that based on the consumer feedback we've received, and I referenced one of those numbers, more than 70% have indicated that they feel safe in a shopping environment, and that's across sizes from large to small. So I think a substantial majority of American consumers have enough experience in the environment that the mere act of, you know, being out there and shopping feels safe because people are observing distancing and mask wearing and limiting the number in stores and things like that. So we're certainly engaged in conversations both at the federal, state, local level about how to keep the economy open safely. And I think, you know, the things we've learned about how to shop safely combined with the desire to support smaller retailers and independents, I think is going to create an opportunity for those small retailers to compete successfully. On the issue of inventory, there's no question, and we had this conversation a lot during the debate on tariffs, that when tariffs were imposed on imported goods, you know, larger businesses had the ability to work with their suppliers to mitigate those costs, and smaller retailers just don't have that same sort of negotiating leverage. And so to the extent that there are issues related to inventory, as opposed to shopping safely and keeping those stores open, but if it's really about availability of inventory, smaller retailers do have some challenges in trying to be more nimble and preserve those lines of sourcing and to find those unique product categories that they can work with a supply partner and provide those kinds of things that maybe won't be available somewhere else as a way to protect against the competition from a larger business that's got access to more inventory.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And as a reminder to our audience, you may ask a question by pressing star 1 now. And our next question comes from Nathaniel Meyerson with CNN. Please go ahead.
Hi, Matthew. Are there any cities or states that you think have implemented restrictions that kind of unfairly burden retailers or some segments of retailers versus others?
Well, certainly it was our view going back to the beginning of this year that that the framework of sort of cleaving the industry into two halves by making pretty arbitrary decisions about what was, quote, essential and what was, quote, non-essential, that worked a real inequity on many companies because it was the government making decisions that really impacted the competitive environment in many ways, and also because there was no basis from a medical perspective in reaching those conclusions. I mean, there's nothing inherently unsafe about shopping for shoes or a sweater that makes that activity unsafe, but makes a loaf of bread or a pound of ground beef safe. I mean, it's not about the product that gets sold. It's about the behavior that occurs in that physical location. And so we feel as if we've demonstrated pretty conclusively with a lot of ability to validate the experience that shopping is in and of itself a completely safe and healthy activity as long as certain behavioral protocols are observed. And based on that experience, state and local governments should not be making decisions about which businesses should or should not remain open based on the products they sell. They should be making decisions based on the behavior that occurs in physical locations. And so if a business is unable to conclusively demonstrate the ability to keep its customers or its patrons safe, then it should not be allowed to remain open. On the other hand, if as retailers have demonstrated, it's a very safe environment for all the reasons we've discussed in terms of investments and health and safety protocols, personal protective equipment, then those businesses ought to be treated equally and ought to be treated similarly. So we're working with, in particular, the number of states that have taken what we think are unreasonable positions lately about which businesses should or should not remain open, and we continue to evaluate what's taking place in various jurisdictions across the country as we assess the right way in which to be engaged to continue those conversations and support our members.
Are there any specific states that you can point to that you think the restrictions are unfair?
Well, again, we're looking at all of them and having conversations with several. And based on what we're hearing from our members and what we're hearing from consumers and those communities themselves, we'll be engaged in those places if and when it appears that we need to be more active. Right now we're having conversations which seem to be generally productive. But if we need to be more engaged or if we need to even proceed to more dramatic action encourage the states to behave responsibly, then we'll certainly take that step.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question is from Mike Duff with Homeworld Business. Please go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to ask, specifically over the last couple of weeks, and perhaps maybe this is more for the CEOs you've had conversations with, how they're looking at the period now up to the end of the holidays, what they're anticipating. Do they feel it's going to be a more promotional environment this year? And how are they thinking about the external factors that are going to go into how consumers behave in the next few weeks, particularly as we're looking at increase of coronavirus and the possibility of new restrictions? I think there was a story I read today that California is looking at possibly going into a much more restrictive state. I mean, I'm very curious about what the CEOs are telling you about how they're going to handle this very difficult to gauge environment toward the end of the year.
Well, it sounded like, forgive me, I lost the beginning. Your question was about inventory.
No, I'm curious. It's about how CEOs view how they're going to have to deal with of retail companies going to have to deal with the end of the year in terms of the the promotional environment, how they want to speak to their consumers, given all of the potential disruption from not only COVID and the increase in the COVID rates, but the possibility of additional government restrictions, as I now think from something I read today, California is looking at. You know, what are they telling you about how they want to tackle the last few weeks, given that there is still the possibility of quite a bit of consumer spending?
Well, I think, you know, as we've alluded to in some of the statistics that both Phil and I referenced, consumers have started their shopping much earlier than ever, and retailers, with our support and our New Holiday Traditions campaign, encouraging consumers to continue to evolve and adjust their behavior to shop safely, shop early. I think consumers have adjusted their behavior. They'll continue to do that. And while there is enormous amount of shopping to be done, I guess consistent with the question that your colleague from CNN just asked a minute ago, which was on this point about potential restrictions and lockdowns, we're very confident that we can demonstrate that that a retail environment is a safe environment. Retailers have been investing for months in protecting their teams, their customers, the communities in which they live and work. You can see that, and I think that's reflected in the more than 70% of consumers who express their level of comfort with the shopping environment, that is a very highly rated activity based on consumer sentiment. So I think there is a sense that the public feels safe in a retail environment. We can demonstrate that retail environments are safe, and so we will continue to deliver that message and work with state and local governments and our partners to communicate that to them to keep these businesses open and allow retailers to serve their customers. And if and when states or localities do impose what we believe to be unfair or unreasonable restrictions on businesses, then we'll be more actively involved in challenging those. And at the moment, as I said a minute ago, we've got a series of ongoing conversations. We want to work together in partnership. We believe that state and local governments can learn an enormous amount from the retail industry because we've been on the front line of this from the beginning, and we've got the experience and the demonstrated results to show them that it is a safe and healthy activity, and they can transport that and export it to other activities. So I think CEOs, and we've got a CEO working group that we meet with regularly to discuss this topic, They're very aware of this, and they're encouraging our activities to have these conversations and these dialogues and deliver messages. So they're prepared with the inventory. They're prepared across channels. They're prepared from a fulfillment perspective to meet whatever challenges they face as we move into the next phase of this between now and the end of the calendar year. So I think they've certainly prepared for every eventuality and made the investments both in-store and from a digital perspective to meet the needs of consumers, whatever the environment is.
Have they said that they believe the second half, or this point forward, is going to become increasingly promotional, or will their promotional strategies kind of remain the same as they've been in the early part of the holiday season?
Well, I think, and we've said before, early this year, retailers made a number of decisions about inventory management. Inventory levels are very lean right now, I don't believe you're going to see retailers left with substantial goods on shelves. You're not going to see an environment in which retailers need to do the kind of promotional discounting that impacts margins. I think you're going to see thoughtful, continued promotions that are consistent with the holiday season, but they're going to be thoughtful and planned. And I think that reflects the approach retailers have taken to managing inventory all year long. So I'd say it'll be the kind of environment that is attractive to consumers and preserves margin for retailers.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Phil. And thank you to everyone who dialed in today. If you have additional questions, please reach out to our team at press@nrf.com, or you can call 855-NRF-PRESS. We wish you a happy and healthy holiday season. Thanks so much.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.